When we surrender our lives to the Lord, we'll find that He has so much for us, as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
If you will just say, let God use you, God will use you. If you're willing to just let go of your life and let the Lord of all creation come into you, and you will start reading the instruction booklet, and you'll understand how He thinks. That's what this shows you, how God thinks. And you'll start seeing that other dimension. Boy, life is going to be fun. You will realize you're in a hostile environment. You'll realize there are enemies of this message. You'll realize that there is death all around you. And you're going to live a life just like all the people around you, so you don't scare them. And you're going to let Him through you change.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Today we continue our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John. Let God use you is our topic on this edition of Chapter and Verse. Our studies with Mike take us to chapter 4, verses 34 through 54, as we hear the second part of this lesson. In our study, we're going to get three steps to successful living. The first is to do God's will. Life lessons we can glean from to strengthen our Christian walk are next on CNV. So open your Bible to the book of John as we listen to Pastor Mike McIntosh.
But there comes a point when you need to see Him as Lord. And when you do, it is that you are the servant. And Jesus said, the servant is never greater than the master. Otherwise, the servant's will. And what did He say to the disciples? The disciples in verse 33 see Jesus. He's as starved as they are. Hey, has anybody given Him something to eat? And Jesus says, my meat, the food that I eat, is special. It's to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Three simple principles to living life in a tremendous way. And then you go from Him being your Lord to Him being the King. And in a flash, you will see a kingdom, Jesus said, is at hand. Just this from your shoulder to your hand. You think you're going to go out into outer space to see Him. No, He's right here around us. This is a dimension that we're living in. But when your spirit gets strong enough, you can step into that other dimension and back and forth. And the older you get from His word, and the stronger you get from His word, and the more time you communicate with that other kingdom, you can come and go into that other dimension. And you begin to realize that everything in this dimension dies. There is nothing that goes on in this dimension. Everything dies. And it dies, and you know it. But you still keep propping it up. But the stronger you get inside, and you've died yourself, and He's now the Lord, He's the Savior, but now He's telling you, this is the way to go in it. And you submit to that and say, boy, this isn't very good. You know, the reason you have trials and temptations and pain and setbacks and failures, and you want to blame the other people that caused the problem. No, the people aren't the problem. We're the problem. God only allows that to come into this realm in our life because He trusts us that we're going to be able to make it through it and build character. When He's the Lord and we begin to see glimpses of the kingdom because we know His word, now we realize, I am the vessel to bring His kingdom from that dimension into this physical dimension of San Diego or Denver or Detroit or Biloxi, Mississippi or Fort Lauderdale. You're just a vessel. And that's why Paul the Apostle said, I am dead in Christ. There's no good thing that dwells in me. And had you been told that God had something for you as spectacular as what you have, you wouldn't have believed it when you were a young child. You know, unconditional love. If I were to say to you, my doctor is here, so I know he wouldn't want me to say this because he needs more patience. He needs to see you. But if I were to say, hey, the doc and I have described this, put together this thing in a lab, and it's a little vial, and if you'll drink this vial, all your aches and pains and wrinkles will go away. And you'll look like you're 22 years old. Now, those of you that are 17 don't want to look like 22 years old. But if you're 62 or 42, you say, I'll drink that. Yes. And you know what? You drink that. Whoa, my muscles, my strength. I can run so fast. I can swim more. This is great. You would tell everybody about it. wouldn't you? You'd go out and say, there's this new miracle deal, and you'd start selling it. You'd be like an Amway person in a way, right? You'd be out there just, hey, this is it. If I said, hey, we got an injection, I don't like needles. Oh, but the doc and I, we've worked this out. If we inject you one time in your left bicep, something happens to your molecular structure that you'll be worth $50 million in 6 months. You'll go out and you have the brain cells to put together bigger things than Donald Trump. You'll be worth a minimum of $50 million. You guys would pay anything I'd ask you for that. You just, yes, sir, Pastor Mike, I'll do it. I'll even give you $50 if you'll give me that. But why is it that we'll run after everything that could cure this or flatten our abs or, you know, build these muscles or do our Pilates or whatever we're going to do? But when it comes to telling people that we've got eternal life, we're never going to die. There is a God who will save your soul from death. There is one that will love you unconditionally and give you forgiveness for everything you've said, thought, or done. Why is it that that's, oh, preach it, Pastor. Yeah, do it, Pastor. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. Oh, I like that one. Oh, okay, right. You know, why is it that some people say, it's all about the Lord, I just want the Lord? Maybe it's this. Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, much is loved. You know, when you're a little prideful and arrogant, you don't think that you needed to be saved from much. Oh, you're just a little stuffed shirt. But boy, when you've been down and out and you felt the dagger of pain in your soul and you've seen dark nights and you haven't slept and you've seen poverty or you've just seen it all, and the love comes unconditionally and the forgiveness comes and you realize, I can't believe it that he has forgiven me. You just are so grateful for the love that you have to tell everybody. You know, for someone to tell you a story or for me to tell you a story is one thing. To preach a sermon is another thing. To teach is still another thing. But if you can live a life that can show pictures through your words and through your metaphor of your life and what you do, that fruit is the ultimate kind of fruit. That other people say, look at this, taste and see, the Bible says, the Lord is good. You know, he's so good. Give him a chance, is what the psalmist said. Taste and see, the Lord is good. Just try Jesus out for a little bit. But what about your life? If there is no good thing that dwells in us, why is it that any good thing could happen in a person's life? Spiritual fruit that in no way could be birthed from a human being is exactly what Jesus does through people like you and me. If you will just say, let God use you, God will use you. If you're willing to just let go of your life and let the Lord of all creation come into you, and you will start reading the instruction booklet, and you'll understand how he thinks. That's what this shows you, how God thinks. And you'll start seeing that other dimension. Boy, life is going to be fun. You will realize you're in a hostile environment. You'll realize there are enemies of this message. You'll realize that there is death all around you. And you're going to live a life just like all the people around you, so you don't scare them. And you're going to let him through you change. Now this is interesting. There are three principles to a successful life here in these scriptures. Three simple principles. You can write them down or you can memorize them or you can listen to it later. Verse 34. Has anybody given him anything to eat? How is it that he's as tired as we are, yet he's talking to that woman? Have you given him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my meat, my strength, my source of power, where I get everything that keeps me going, is right here in his next statement. My meat is number one, to do the will of him that sent me. And number two, to finish this work. So what are the three things? Number one, to do God's will. I want you to write down on the palm of the person's hand sitting behind you right now, what is God's will for my life? Do you have the slightest clue of what God's will is for your life? If you can find God's will for your life, you're going to have assurance for anything you do from this moment on. But if you have no understanding of God's will, there's very little assurance. This is why mistakes, stops, starts, divorces, all sorts of things, bankruptcies. If you knew God's will, you'd be in God's will. And like Jesus said, my source of living comes from doing the will of him who sent me. That's the second part of a key of a successful life, to know God sent you. If you can have assurance from knowing God's will, you can have undeniable confidence in knowing that God has sent you. Are you taking the right courses in college because God designed those courses? Did he send you to that course? Are you working with the right business partners because God sent you into their lives? Are you living in the correct neighborhood? Are you doing the things you do because God sent you? You see, the Bible says, if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? So now I've got total assurance of my life because I know God's will for my life. Now I've got complete confidence. I fear no man because I know that God has sent me and I'm doing exactly what his will is, and this is part of his design for my life. And the third thing there is very simple. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now maybe you have friends like this. They start a lot of things, but they finish nothing. Maybe they're Christian or not Christian. They might be a Christian. They go to four or five different churches. They cannot settle down and finish a relationship. You've dated guys like this. You've dated women like this. They go from job to job, school to school, start something, stop something, get ready for success, and they fall backwards. You know, this is a real key to success. Finish the work. But what work? His work. You see, now you have full assurance that you have the will of God. He's designed me to do this. You have complete confidence that you're going to accomplish what he wants because he has sent you to do it. And now your focus is, I'm not going to run. And oh, how many hundreds of times I've wanted to run from my assignment from the Lord. It's not easy for a guy like me that doesn't have very many smarts or very many talents to do all that God wants to do so he gets the glory. I haven't gotten rich. I haven't taken advantage of things. But I do have great joy in my heart that I know God. I wish I knew him more. I try to talk to him all day long. I try to read about him. I try to see him work. I try to do all of his good works. But still, there's just so much more about him. He's not a religion. He's as real as you are, sitting here looking at me. He's so full of everything. And he has the resources to do whatever. And all he says is, will you say, let God use you? And one day I did say, let God use me. But I had no idea that he'd use me. But God will use you. You know, God loves you. And he's trying to say, I've got an assignment for you. I want you to know my will. I want to send you to do this, and I'm going to give you the ability to accomplish this. See, I never finished anything in my life. I didn't finish relationships. I didn't finish school. I didn't finish anything. I don't have the abilities to do anything other than what God has trained me to do for his people. So the second thing that we learn from Jesus here is don't think you know it all, because you don't. In verse 35, he says to the men, say you not, otherwise in your mind you think. Don't you guys say... Don't you have all the answers, huh? You would say with your reasoning process, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. But listen, I want you to think a little differently. That's what he says. Behold, I say unto you, change your thinking. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white, ready unto harvest. You know, some of you wonder why things don't change. Why do you always get yourself in these situations, you ask yourself? Do you know that you wake up in the morning and your mind's working along and you probably go back to the same problems you went to bed with? You have the same issues with the same kind of people in the same kind of places. You say, if I change jobs, this will get better. If I move to a different neighborhood, this will do it. If I run and don't finish and I start fresh, I'll get it all together. No, that's not it. If you would just let the Lord just change it and say, hey, this is so negative. But what if we do positive? God, I can do all things through you. If you just started saying that 10, 15, 20 seconds a day, God can get me through this. God's going to get you through it. Not because it's power of positive thinking. It's just that you're, instead of dwelling on what you can't do, start thinking of what God can do. God has unlimited resources. He has unlimited power. He has unconditional love. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. But boy, the minute this body and this mind start scheming and planning, I do nothing. But the minute it's part of my assignment from the Lord to win a person to Jesus, disciple them in Jesus, send them out for Jesus, there isn't anything I can't do. But the minute I get into my flesh, there's nothing I can do. Can't accomplish a thing. But if I accomplish something, it's only because he's in me doing it through me. So you stop and you think, his meat is to do the will of the Lord. And if I don't look at it this way, oh yeah, you see, the son of David, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't you say this is the way it's always been done? See, some of you are rebels in disguise. You've challenged that your whole life like I did. They've always said this is the way it's done. It can't be done a different way. So you try it a different way and it's successful. You know, it's okay to be rebellious in a sense, but not disrespectful to society or to people or to systems. But if you go out and you start doing it because God's shown you how to do it and he prospers it, you just know that you've been spoken to by heaven. You see, don't lean to your own understanding. You say that the harvest is in 4 days. I want you to think a little differently today. I say to you, lift up your eyes. You see, the fields were not new. Those fields have been there forever. Do you think that Jesus is talking to these guys that were consumed with feeling the pangs of hunger from In-N-Out, that they passed this woman who was the key to evangelism for the whole city, that he is saying to them, look to the fields that are out here around Samaria? No. Do you think he is saying, look at the little gardens and the fields that are ripe for harvest right here, about 4 months from now, right around Jacob's well, there's water flowing here? No. I think he's saying, turn around and look what you missed. Look at all the men that are walking out in the entire village that's coming to get eternal life. You say it happens on a certain day. You call it a meeting. You say it's always been done this way, but I say unto you, the fields are white unto harvest right now. Yeah, it's the same fields, but the world will always be ripe, Jesus said. The timing was something that they were missing and that Jesus wanted them to have. God's rewards. In verse 36, he rewards you, ladies and gentlemen. He that reaps receives wages. He gathers fruit unto eternal life, that both the person that sows and the person that reaps, they can rejoice together. Peter said to Jesus one day, Master, we've left our wives, our children, our businesses, and our homes. What about us? And Jesus said, Peter, in this world, you'll get 100 times more back. And in the life to come, eternal life. How many of you have ever invested anything that paid you 100% back? If you can get 5% right now, you're happier. 6 or 7 or 8, but 100%? That's right. When you say, let God use us, let God use me, God will come into you and he rewards you where you reap and when you sow. See, everyone has an opportunity to serve. Some of you have passed it by many times, like the disciples passing the woman by. God's family is not in competition. Our church is bigger than your church. We've got a prettier sanctuary than yours. Our way is the only way. No, it's not in competition. It's a family. God's family is a special group of people. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. In verse 38 is a verse that God gave me in 1974 when I first came to San Diego. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men have labored, and you are entered into their labors. I was reading this to Sandy last week, and I said, man, I've always felt that all the years I've been in San Diego, that I've labored, other men had labored, and I've done the reaping. She said, yes, but you've made up for it with all the labor you've done. I'd never thought of that before. Yes, I reaped. I mean, imagine from my point of view, to start with 10 people in the living room and have 1,000 people 12 months later, and to be driving 200 miles round trip every week and trying to figure out where I was going to get the gas money to drive down here. You see, it's those little things of having the faith to get the gas money that allows me to do bigger things today. It was the little things of faithfulness. Okay, it starts on Monday night at 7 o'clock. Okay, now they've asked me in Escondido. Well, I don't know how I'll do Escondido. Okay, I'll do Tuesday nights there, and then I'll come back over to... It was the faithful things and the little that God says, okay, now we'll give you a little bit more. And some of you have never finished what God has started you in. Please, may I encourage you. The end of the age is here. Whatever he's called you to do, whoever he's called you to be it to the glory of God. And then give him the glory that he'd use you. You become nothing more than a vessel that his spirit ignites your spirit. And he is now using you as the ambassador to get his kingdom into this kingdom to evacuate all the dying people. It's that simple. He's trying to evacuate many of your family and friends and get them out of this place that is having global warming and having disease and Popeye spinach killing people and get you into an evacuation point that is not of this realm. And if you're not happy, filled with excitement that you've got eternal life and that all your sins are forgiven, you're probably not a born-again person. You probably don't know God and you don't know his son Jesus. But I thank God because of verse 38. Look at that on the screen and in your Bible. I sent you to reap where others labored. You haven't labored. I thank God for Tim LaHaye that was here for 25 years. For Gus Gustafson over in, off of Adams Avenue in this Methodist Church. I thank the Lord for Orville Butcher at Skyline Wesleyan that was such a tremendous Bible teacher. I thank the Lord for Jerry Bernard in his Pentecostal expression down at Faith Center at the El Cortez Hotel. I thank God for Dick Dresselhaus at First Assembly of God. I thank of all the pastors and the ministers, Mike Mitschke at the Lutheran Church down on 94th Freeway at Euclid. I think of all the men that were here for years, and then I come in with 10 people, just giving a Bible study, and boom! But I could have run 100 times, but I knew God was alive and doing something. And I'm saying this not to glorify me, because there is no good thing that dwells inside of this person standing here in front of you. God wants to use you 100 times more than he's ever used this vessel. There's nothing in me that could have accomplished or is accomplishing or will accomplish anything that would be eternal or lasting. The things that are good that have come out of my life or your life, there's nothing that comes out of us. Well, nothing that is but Jesus. That's the good thing in us. And that's the wonderful thing about him. He didn't hang on that cross. He didn't stay in that tomb. He rose and he ascended on high, giving good gifts unto men. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he says, I'm coming again. In the meantime, he will endue you with the power to represent his dimension. Let God use you. So here's the verse. There are also many other things that Jesus did. So I'm not pointing towards me. I'm just one guy, and I'm trying to do my best. There's not much more I can do, but if he says do more, I will. Which, if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Man, think of your lives if you started writing books of what you're doing. Think of all the Christians. The planet doesn't have enough publishers, enough trees for the paper, or enough places to house the books. If you just say, you think of life this way, but I say, look, now. It's now. It's now. Let God use you. And there's only one way all of this has happened. And I thank God. I thank God from the bottom of my heart, and I'll tell you why. I think of all the people that serve throughout the world that have come out of this place that are doing things because they got a glimpse of, not because the woman at the well said it, but because we've seen him for ourselves and they've gone. Without dedicated people who have followed the dreams and visions that are instilled by God into your ministry, things would never come about. Without loyal Christian men and women, boys and girls who sacrifice their money, their time, their efforts, their energies, the things through God would never have grown beyond 10 people. Could have been 10 selfish people saying, oh, we're just going to be 10 people in a home Bible study. And without a woman that loves God standing by her man, this pastor would never have been able to work the long hours, travel the far distances, serve the multitudes, help the hopeless, or create the many avenues of gospel expression. My heart is eternally grateful to God for giving me Sandy. Let God use you. Would you let God use you? Let God use you. Now, I want you to wave at the cameras. There's cameras around here because there is a group of people that have made all of this possible. And without them, it wouldn't happen. So just wave at them as they're looking right now. Would you please? Go ahead. Yeah, there's the people that have caused all of this to happen. It's you. God has blessed you. God has honored you. Church is not four walls with stained glass window and stiff pews. Church is people. It's not neckties and coats and degrees after the pastor's name. It's people that have been touched with Jesus going telling other people, and those people get excited that there is unconditional love. He loves you no matter what, and he'll never stop loving you. Father, as we take communion, we thank you for this unconditional love. We thank you for the miracle of these 10 people that have become way beyond anything humanly possible. And we know that we're only one group of people out of the millions of groups throughout the planet. But what a job you have done here. And so, Father, we lay ourselves at your throne. And as we hold this cup and we hold this bread, we remember Jesus Christ, the unconditional love that he gave for us. So, Father, forgive us for being lukewarm or lethargic, for doing nothing, for not passing on the salvation or the forgiveness or the love. Help us this day forward to get our eyes off ourselves and look up, lift our heads up to see there is so much need and there is so little time. May we all reevaluate ourselves and give ourselves completely to your kingdom to help evacuate this dying world that is around us. May you help us be open vessels and channels that your spirit, your word can work through and that our prayers could come out of. Bless us, Lord, to do more with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we look to Jesus Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, God will use our lives to accomplish mighty things for his glory. Let God use you to change the world. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. Then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at mikemcintosh.com. Chapter and Verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse. Post Office Box 231-150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231-150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at mikemcintosh.com. Be sure to join us again next time for CNV Radio. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.